And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. And friends, today we are going to take a look at the Christian mandate to be salt, yeast, and light. Now, that's what we are. We are salt, yeast, and light. But where and how do we impact, and where are the opportunities? These are the questions that we want to ask. We are to pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness wherever we go, whatever we do. So inevitably, we must be applying the word of God, the law of God. The word of God, the law of God must equip the man of God for every good work in every sphere of influence that he finds himself in, whether that be in the economic sphere, the political sphere, the cultural sphere, you name it. We still have a mandate to walk in the commandments that Jesus has given to us and to pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness everywhere we go. And so where is that? We are not entirely separated from the world. Sure, there are points at which we are to come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, yes. But there are also points at which we are to engage. So where shall we be taking down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ? Now, the only battle in America does not take place in the political sphere, nor does it take place in Washington, D.C. The president of the United States is not the only political sphere, although sometimes I think we have that impression when we visit Fox News or CNN. But news to you, friends, there is still something of the balance of powers. There's still a local magistrate, and the local magistrate's critical, absolutely critical. Over the years in our county, we have built a unity of church pastors, a coalition of local churches. This has been invaluable to us as we have navigated through the tyrannical mandates that have sort of drifted down from the top echelons of government in our neck of the woods. And much of the work, as we have discovered, has to be focused upon the county sheriff and the local commissioners in our county. In some respects, our county has become something of a sanctuary, actually, protected from the petty tyrants and the megalomaniacs that seem to want to control every area of life. So, friends, do not ignore the local governments. I believe the local communities are twice as important as the President of the United States. Now, of course, the President of the United States, the presidential election coming up is important. But, hey, the local community is twice as important as the President of the United States, especially as we begin to see the weakening of the national unity and a potential disintegration of the larger centrist states, whether that be in Europe, Canada, or America. Well, today, localism. Simply asking the question, what can you do? What can I do to be Joseph, Esther, and Daniel wherever we are? Well, I'm going to interview Chris Zimmerman. He's a friend from, a long time ago, back in Washington State. I think I met you guys in Washington State, Chris, at one of the homeschool conferences out there, sponsored by Christian Heritage. And then you wound up in Nevada, and you've got an article in Arise and Build called The Power of God in the Midst of the Mundane. So I want to talk to you, Chris, about this. How did you make it to Nevada, Chris?
So that's a great question. We, some time ago, while we were up in Washington, and it was, about 3 years ago, realized and we could see the direction that Washington State was going. It was not heading in a strong, godly direction. We had the forces of humanism that were really overrunning the state, and there was a lack of coordination, by and large, amongst many of the Christians. There was a strong Christian group there, a core there. But I saw that the direction that the state was going overall was not in a good direction long-term, multi-generationally. So my wife and I sat down and made the very deliberate decision of, okay, our threshold has been crossed. It is time to make an exit out of Washington. So that led us to building. I'm an IT guy. So what does that mean? It means I build a spreadsheet. And we built a spreadsheet that had columns for all of the important metrics that we needed to consider, and we evaluated all 50 states, color-coded it, weighted it, and we ended up with a top five states that we felt we could plant ourselves in any of these top five and for generations make an impact in the local community, in the county, and in the state.
Right.
So we put that before God, much like Hezekiah, right? Say, here is our plan, but we know that you direct our steps, And I started immediately looking for opportunities for employment in the top five states. And lo and behold, God opened a door in the state of Nevada, which was in our top five. It was actually number two. And here we are living now in the rural deserts of Nevada.
Yeah. And making something of an impact. And I think I want to go over that a little bit of how we can make an impact pretty much anywhere we are. I think we need to remember that no matter how bad things get, Christians can still be that Joseph, Esther, Daniel, wherever they happen to be. And, I mean, let's face it, Daniel was outnumbered. Joseph was outnumbered. Esther was outnumbered, right? I mean, you know, Joseph versus the Egyptian Empire. That's a big deal. And, but you know, here we're also looking for opportunity. We're looking for doable opportunities for Christians wherever they happen to be. And we find that in local communities, as you did. So talk to us what happened as you got into this battle at your local library district.
So the library, well, let me back up. Our county, you mentioned earlier about your county there being a bit of a sanctuary type county. Well, our county had been one of the first to declare a Second Amendment sanctuary status.
Oh,
And we knew that. Again, this all kind of fell into our metrics for our search for where we would land. And our family, being a homeschool family, we use the local library constantly, right? It's a great resource for our family. So my wife and I were going into the library one day, and we noticed that they had a sign posted that firearms were going to be banned in the library. Thought, that's odd, because Nevada, if you don't already know, is a very gun-friendly state, at least so far. And for a Second Amendment sanctuary county to have this posted raised an alarm. So we immediately asked for the director of the library, spoke with her, found out that they were citing the wrong statutes to bolster their case for the no guns. And then further investigation just revealed that it was because of our daughter who was carrying in the library. And in Nevada, if you're not 21, then you cannot get a concealed carry permit. So her being under 21 had to openly carry. That's very common in our town. It's one of the reasons why many people move here. But at any rate, she was taking her 3-year-old little sister to story time and openly carrying, but not in an aggressive manner. She's dressed nicely. She's very polite. She's very engaging. Nobody had any problems, but the library suddenly saw an issue with it. So facing this issue, we had a choice to make. And that was, do we just let this happen? Our family has taken a stand on Second Amendment issues for years because we see thou shalt not kill means thou shalt defend life. And we see throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation a duty of the Christian man and woman to not only have arms but also to be proficient with them to defend their life, their families, and their neighbors.
Now, Chris, I need to insert for just a moment that the Western states have something of a legacy of protecting the Second Amendment rights of their citizens. That includes the state of Colorado, but the battle is happening. The battle is raging hot in the Western states. Colorado, of course, one of the Western states, has increased its regulations of firearms over the last 6 or 7 years, and I think we've lost just about every single battle when it comes to these Second Amendment rights. So this is no small matter when it comes to the Western states. We are really, our backs are against the wall, and we are doing the best we can to defend these rights, even in the Western states. So, you know, the battle is hot, the battle is raging, and apparently it's affected Nevada as well.
It has. We are facing many of the same battles. We have had some wins and some losses, but despite all this, we know that God Almighty is with his people. Now, he grants his victories according to his will and his providence, his sovereign will, and we rest in that. But that does not absolve us from the responsibility to engage in the battle and leave the results up to him.
Yeah.
So here we are facing now this issue at the library. We found out from the library director that there was going to be a library board meeting to discuss this very policy change. So we prayerfully decided to not only attend that meeting, but also I sent off an email with photos of the signs to all of our county commissioners. Now, part of the reason we moved to a rural county was because the population density is reduced to the point that you that a person can make a much bigger impact, a much bigger splash than you can in a major population center.
Right.
And that was very true here. We had 3 out of the 5 county commissioners show up at this first meeting. Hmm. Our family was there. And then you had the board and some Democrats or some of the liberal-minded that were there as well speaking against this. The board had already made up their mind. But when we showed up and the county commissioners showed up and all spoke against this, we watched as God rattled that board and they actually ended up tabling the issue instead of just voting on it when their minds were made up. And this continued month after month. They kept tabling the issue and tabling the issue, and each month more people showed up. Because our family took a stand, then the local political scene was activated because they got wind of it, and they started coming, and it ended up with rallies in the parking lot, and the room not being big enough. We actually went into an overflow status at the meetings with the overwhelming majority of people speaking against this. Long story short, the library made a formal statement on the record that not only were they not going to pursue this matter any further, but they also were not going to enforce the very no weapons policy that they already had on the books. So this was a redundant effort that they were doing in the long run. That was a complete victory that God granted. And myself, my wife, my daughter still living at home, and even my 8-year-old son all were speaking at these events. And that has further opened up doors as people have seen us and interacted with us to the point that the two of the board positions came open. They have term limits here.
Okay.
And I had an opportunity then to decide, well, do I just say, okay, we got the victory and leave it at that? Or do I step in with this potential door that could be opening of serving on the library board and step in and actually contribute into the community through this means and provide protection for our freedoms and liberties that way. So I threw my hat in the ring. I was one of 10 that were considered. And by unanimous vote of all the county commissioners, I was appointed to the board. And then, completely unexpected to me, once that I was on the board, we had the very first board meeting where we had to elect who was going to be chair and secretary and so forth. The board that we had just been fighting with for 6 months voted unanimously to put me as the chair.
Okay. There is a God in the heavens and he is on our team. You know, I mean, I'm sure Joseph wasn't expecting a promotion to the second most powerful position in the land, you know, all the way from the depths of the dungeon.
Exactly. There was nothing I could do except fall on my knees and go, praise God. It's so obvious that God is at work, and on this very day, that I couldn't help but sing his praises.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped there. Perhaps you can share a little bit of what you shared with me off air. There's potential for you to maybe get even more involved in the county when it comes to Republican politics.
This is true. So as a result of our interactions with the library board over those many months, we obviously were engaged with the local Republican group here. They got called in through one of the county commissioners and so forth. And I was approached by the chairman of the Republican group for this county, the third largest county by land mass in the United States. And he said, I have to step down and I want you to consider running for chairman.
Wow.
And my mouth hit the ground. Well, why me? He said, I listened to you. You were articulate. You stood your ground. You're a God-fearing man, as he was as well. And when we were giving our speeches at the library, we were speaking presupposing scripture. We had no issues saying, thou shalt not kill means thou shalt defend life. I have a covenantal duty before God to defend life, and that's why I carry my sidearm. So he heard all this, and he said, I think you would be an excellent candidate for chairman. So again, didn't campaign. We had the election at the Central Committee here in this county, and by a margin of 3-1, I was elected chairman to the local Republican group for this county.
Wow. Chris, what's the secret to getting involved? You got involved, and now you're moving into the center of politics in your county. What is the secret to getting involved?
The secret, I would say, would start with what Matthew Henry said. He who notes providences will have providences to note. You have to have, by eyes of faith, eyes that see the doors that open. It doesn't mean that you have to feel 100% equipped or even 10% equipped, but know that when you walk through in faith and God opens that door, He'll equip you. Mm. But at the same time, it's not a passive thing. You have to also be arming yourself, studying to show yourself approved. So you need to be in the Word. You need to be studying it. Mm. And our involvement in politics goes back years, all the way into Washington, where one day I said, you know what? I feel really weak in applying God's word to the civil sphere. So I'm going to start going to my city council meetings, listen to just what's in play, and try to understand and what would be the biblical answer to that. And I did that for 2 years.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being where I was now speaking with county commissioner or city council men and women and hearing the issues that were in play. And they would come to me and go, well, what do you think about this? And I would say, well, have you considered doing this or that? Where I was just applying God's word. And then they would come back with, well, tell me more. How would that look? How flesh that out for me? And that's really been the impetus behind our involvement at really any level.
You know, one of the proverbs say that a diligent man will stand before kings. I can't remember which proverb it is, but there's something about being diligent. There's something about being engaged with the responsibilities that God has placed before us in an aggressive kind of way. Being faithful in small things that leads us to the other things. I think that's the example of Joseph as well. You think about his reputation in the prison, his reputation in Potiphar's household. There's something about that diligence, that responsibility, that willingness to be a faithful servant to the Lord wherever we happen to be that is so critical and ultimately leads to more opportunities, doesn't it?
It does. It does. That is definitely true in my life, not only at home, but also in the workplace. It's the self-government. It starts with the self-government of the Christian man and woman.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, nothing else will happen. And you prove yourself faithful in those small things, that self-government, in the family government, in your work government, in your church government, and God will open those doors and bring greater responsibility, because that is His reward. His reward is not piles of riches. It's greater responsibility. That's what God does. And we as Dominion men and women are designed for that responsibility, but we have to be mature, and we have to mature ourselves and apply His word to that level.
Well, it's interesting. I worked in the corporate world for quite some time, and oftentimes I thought it was a risk to hire a professing Christian because they would not always make good employees. What do you think it is? Now, you work in the corporate structure. What do you think it is that that leads to success in the corporate world? And I know that you have enjoyed a number of promotions along the way, but just being a servant in that capacity for the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that leads to the promotions?
Humility. Absolutely, okay. It's humility. Mm-hmm. That if you look at your typical millennial mindset or the typical employee out there today, there really is still a mindset of entitlement. And I don't approach my employment as with a sense of entitlement. I approach it with a sense of humility as I'm serving whoever my supervisor is or whoever my employer is as unto the Lord, not as a man pleaser, not just for eye service. But I don't see my boss when I'm working. I said, OK, Christ has said, serve this man. So even though he's flawed, even though he may not even be Christian, Christ has said, serve this man. Hmm. And I tell you, as I've done that, I have seen even my supervisor come and say, what is different about you? Why is it that you do this or you don't do that? And yet I stay focused. I don't even let that generate an iota of pride in me because I know how destructive that can be.
Hmm. Chris, I want you to talk a little bit about the obstacles that get in our way. I've been involved in lots of different political, economic endeavors and such in the business world, in the political world, in the ministry world and such. But you set out to do something, to take the risks, to make an impact, to take advantage of the opportunities, to kind of kick open that door just a little bit more, enter in to these providences. What are the discouraging notions that creep in to keep us from action?
Well, the first one, and it's one that is one that I regularly battle with, is why me, Lord? Mm. I feel so under-equipped for what I'm doing, or or perhaps it's another way of putting it, a moment of, what am I doing? Who would have said 3 years ago, this is where I would be? And then I shake my head and go, wait. The Lord has put you here. It doesn't matter how you got there. The fact is, the responsibility is mine. The results are up to Him. The responsibility is mine. God has said, do this, and praise God, I'm going to go forward with everything I have.
You step out of the boat, you take 7 steps on the water outside of the boat, and then for a moment you ask yourself, what am I doing here, and what about all this wind and wave business going on around
me? Exactly.
Now what? I think the key is faith at this point, isn't it?
It is. And it's not faith in the sense of a blind leap. Hmm. It is absolutely faith in the solid Word of God and
yes.
our King and ruler right now, who's
That's
reigning
right.
and
mm-hmm.
opening doors and knocking down His enemies before us by His sovereign will. So that's what we have to keep the eyes on.
That's right. Anything else to just encourage the saints out there that are tuning in to us to just get out there and get engaged in the opportunities that God brings their way?
I would encourage them to read Exodus 14, verse 15. It's one of my favorite verses. And you've got, just a quick context, the people of God out of Egypt, a miraculous exodus out of slavery. Their backs are to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming, and they cry out. And Moses got caught up in it and apparently was praying to God. And God's response was, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." In other words, why are you calling to me? I told you what to do. Go forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not that it's not saying that prayer is not important. It absolutely is important, and it should be so organic, so integrated into your life that you're able to pray while you're going into a situation, along with those quiet times in your closet. But do not let that replace action, because God is impatient with those who only do prayer with no action. And I want to be a man of action and prayer. And so I would encourage the saints, if you see a door that's opened, don't wait for a bolt from the blue. Look and see, is this a providence of God? If it is, step through it, because you're not going to mess up His sovereign will. He has ordained whatsoever shall come to pass from before the foundation of the world. So He's going to use the entirety of your life, even before you were a Christian, as foundation of the experience and knowledge and skills that He has given you to walk into that situation and be able to serve Him. And even if it seems to the outward world that it's a complete disaster, yet you were taught something and it will be used later on. I could say that over and over and over through my life alone.
And I would add to that, if you step out in faith, do
yes.
it in faith. And if you get into the paralysis of analysis, you're probably not going to move forward. So move forward in faith, and when things get really tough, take another step forward. Just keep moving. And as a friend of mine likes to say, this is one of the most succinct statements I think there is in the English language, fall forward. So if you're going to fall, just fall forward. Just
Amen.
Keep moving ahead, as we read from Exodus 14:15. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward
Amen.
In faith. Chris Zimmerman's been my guest on the Generations broadcast, a homeschooling father, an active element in his local county in Nevada. And also, he is employed in the IT world. So, Chris, thanks for giving us an everyday guy's perspective of the power of God in the midst of the mundane. So good. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
And friends, if you'd like to contact Chris, just simply email me at host@generations.org, and I'll send your messages on to him. That's host@generations.org. And if you have any questions or comments or ideas for the program, simply email me at host@generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.